Today's reading comes from Psalm 31. Let's first pray, and we'll seek the Lord's blessing on the word that's not only read and preached, but heard, laid up in our hearts that we might practice it in our lives. Let's seek his face. Father, much of our worship revolves around the scripture. And as we come to hear the word of God read and listen to it being preached, we ask, Lord, for ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And as your word is being brought to your various churches throughout the world, it is one church of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are but servants in it, members of his body. And we come this day asking for encouragement. We pray for instruction. We pray that you'd confirm in our hearts the things that we know and believe already, and deepen our faith in Jesus Christ, work in us greater love for him, and as we've just sung, that the work of our hand would be established. And Lord, we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We pray that you would put our feet in the direction of obedience, our hands to do the things that will be for building up and not for tearing down, for things that will last, that will have your blessing, and even one day by grace, your reward. So as we come to you this morning, we ask that you'd teach us your ways, that we might walk in them and unite our hearts to fear your name. And Lord, conform us to the image of your Son in all these things, as we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen. Psalm 31. As it says for the choir director, a psalm of David. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me, rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me. You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth. I hate those who regard vain idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in your loving kindness, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the troubles of my soul, and you have not given me over into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a large place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity, and my body has wasted away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant. Save me in your loving kindness. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them be silent in Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has made marvelous his loving kindness to me in a besieged city. As for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. Oh, love the Lord, all you his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. And that's our reading of God's word this morning. They say hindsight is 20/20. I wish they could say the same of eyesight, especially my eyesight sometimes. The thing that's interesting about hindsight being 20/20 is that, assuming you're moving, you're getting further away from the object even as you look at it. And that past that gets further away from you, like everything else that gets away from you, it becomes less clear, less focused. But even so, as the expression goes, hindsight is 20/20. Out of sight, out of mind might be another expression that's relevant. But hindsight is about looking at something again. It's after the fact, since it has already happened. It might entail what we do differently. In hindsight, I should have bought it when it was on sale, we might say. In hindsight, I wouldn't have done that. I wish I had done XYZ instead. Hindsight is 20/20. Hindsight has a way of highlighting what is now really unchangeable. Things that are unalterable. Maybe you remember Solomon's description. He put it this way: wherever the tree falls, there it lies. Something happens, you can't do anything about it. You may see things anew with hindsight. You may see things aright. But often there's nothing that you can do other than just to see it for what it really is. What do you think about the fallen tree, if we could say, of 20/20? Is hindsight 20/20? I know the year is 2020, but is hindsight 2020? How about your sight of this year in the rearview mirror? Is it 2020 for 2020? For sure, the only way we could have hindsight to be 2020 about 2020 would be from the Word of God, or to have the very mind of God unveiled before us. The Word of God never lies. It always provides the true way to see any issue on which it speaks. This fallen year may be what it is, but the Word of God, to use Solomon's illustration, is sort of like a chainsaw that allows us to cut up things so that we can take some usefulness from it. That's what I intend to do this morning as we look at the Word of God, Psalm 31. I'd like us to consider 2020 with 2020 vision. The 2020 vision is not our opinions, it's not our persuasion, it's not our perspective, it's the Word of God. That's the 2020 vision. Have you ever been in a situation where everything is going along just fine? Things are taking place as they would normally do, and then unexpectedly, some turn happens. Maybe a comment is made, maybe an event suddenly opens up, and you look at each other and ask in astonishment, what just happened? What just happened? Maybe we could say that of the year 2020. What just happened with this year? You find yourself saying that of the year that has largely now transpired, whether it was back in the early months or now in this last month. Maybe you're asking and have been asking each month of this year that you've cast it maybe in the present tense, what is happening? Or maybe you've put your nuance on it and said, why does this keep happening? What just happened here? How do we, how shall we see 2020 with 2020 vision? Well, many things could be an answer, of course. I have to be, I guess, selective with a whole year. And I find Psalm 31 being particularly relevant and helpful for a last sermon of the calendar year. Let me mention several ways to see 2020 with 2020 vision. And in doing so, there are just two points. We want to see that in terms of providence and things that are personal. Providential things, personal things. In all of this, we see that our times are in God's hand. That's what you see at verse 15, sort of like an entrance into the psalm, maybe a good summary of the psalm. I think a very fitting summary of this fallen tree of 2020 that is now fallen. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Particularly the first part of that verse. My times are in your hand. Consider first things that are providential. Hear David's words at verse 15, no pun intended, are very timely. They are words with which to end a calendar year. They're words equally to begin a calendar year. My times are in your hand. You notice that there's no qualification that is put with these words. None is there. It doesn't say some of my times. It doesn't say many of my times. It doesn't say most of my times. It says very directly and emphatically, my times are in your hand. It's very clear and straightforward. They're not half in God's hand and half out. They are not leaning against God's hand. They're not on top of God's hand. They are in God's hand. God's hand holds them all. How much can you fit in your hand? Well, I guess it depends how big your hand is. And it depends on what you're putting in your hand. But you think about it from this perspective. How much can you fit in your hand? Sometimes we can fit everything we need to. It might be crumbs off the countertop, which easily fit in your hand, as well as maybe three rubber bands or some paper clips. Sometimes we can fit some things, but we can't fit all things. We could fit the three rubber bands or the three paper clips, but we can't fit 20 marbles into our hand. There are some times that things are impossible to fit into our hand. We can't put our car in our hand. We can't put a swimming pool in our hand or such things. But look at this and you see that nothing is impossible with God, such that even our times are in his hand. All of them. My times, plural, are in your hand. This is describing a sovereign God. It describes a God who is almighty, a God who is all-knowing, a God who is all-wise, a God who is altogether good and capable as God. Yes, verse 15 is one of many helpful, one of many clear statements of Scripture that states the doctrine of providence. The doctrine of providence that, in the words of our shorter catechism, is God's most holy, wise, and powerful preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. Providence is about God preserving, God governing everything that he has made. It could be things visible, things invisible, things that are animate, things that are inanimate, things that are here, things that are there, things that are above, things that are below, things that have passed, things that are coming, things pertaining to heaven, and even things pertaining to hell. God is Lord of all. In creation, God makes it. In providence, God keeps it. He sustains it. He moves it. He uses it for his purpose. It's as the Apostle Paul said, that God works all things after the counsel of his will. It's what Jesus was meaning and referring to when he said that no sparrow falls to the ground apart from your Father. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. That is God's preservation and government. That's the doctrine of providence. And for God's people, it's his knowledge and his care. It means that God is indifferent and just sort of wound things up and just lets them go. No, God is very actively and directly involved with each one of you. The doctrine of providence is not merely his preservation and government. It's God interacting with people. David said elsewhere to the people of God, "The Lord will accomplish what concerns me." There's providence. That's providence. And so it is, my times are in your hand. I wonder if you can say that of yourself. Do you believe that about your life? Have you believed it about the past year? Is that what's motivating you? Is that in your thinking as you go into yet another year, if God should will it? That your times are in God's hand. And more, do you say this to God? David has confessed his faith by saying this in spite of how involved, complicated, troubled his life was. He could still say with a firm conviction of faith, "My times are in your hand." Now, all this is true, in one sense, for every life, of every person, of every day, of every year. It's true for all God's creatures, as they're related to him, their creator. He necessarily sustains them. And so in that broad sense, everybody's lives, everybody's times are in his hand. But David is speaking particularly of God's providence to him amidst enemies, amidst persecutors, amidst afflictions, amidst even God's providence as it plays into his life. He is here speaking in terms of comfort. What comfort it is that our times are in God's hand. Do you say this in relation to God himself? Well, you may ask yourself the question and wonder, what times are these? When David says, "my times," what times does he mean? Well, he's speaking very generally. These would be happy times. These would be sad times. These are easy times. They are hard times. These are good times. They are bad times. They are break times. They are study times. These are early years of life. These are later years of life. These include work years. They include retirement years. These are healthy days. These are sick days. Times when you sense God's nearness and times when you do not. These are times of walking by faith. These are times even of weakened faith. In all of these are times, they are seasons. These are periods of life, as the Hebrew means, whatever they are, whatever is in them, whatever is not in them, in these times and seasons and days and years of life, God has them all in His hand. They are there. He has contact with them. He's not removed from them. He's very much involved in holding things as they are. And all these things you can, and you ought to say, my times are in your hands. I'd say to you, friend, that you believe the biblical doctrine of providence when you confess these kinds of words. And you can look at your situation, whatever it is, and say, these are my times, but the setting for my time is God's hand. That's the setting of it. It's not, however, we choose to view it in its own immediate setting. That's true. But the broader setting is God's hand. It's God's hand. If you confess these things, then you realize it's not in your hands. It's in God's hand. That's where the matter lies. You say that for any matter, of any day, of any year. Haven't we seen the truth of David's words in view of this past year, in terms of our pandemic? It isn't hard to look and say, what just happened? What is happening? Why does this keep happening? You remember back in March that we prayed that God's will would be done through this, and the difficult request that it wouldn't be until God completes what He means to do. Maybe we've grown weary of that. There we were back in the early part of the year, living our normal lives when they were noticeably and radically altered. The epidemic we heard of in China soon was here and throughout other countries of the world. Do you remember those early days? Maybe the solemn feeling of, uh-oh. That fear, that unknown, that sense of solemnity, of walking into a place you've never been before. Do you remember those early days? What was going on in all those early days? Well, it's right here. Your times were in His hand. Now it's the new normal. That is normal, even though it's still rather abnormal. For many people, work and school done differently, done in different places, public policy is different. In February, we would look suspiciously if we saw someone in a store with a mask covering their face. By mid-April, people were looking suspiciously on people who didn't have a mask covering their face. Things changed. The times, they were a-changing. Things were different. Quite strangely, the stock market seems to have been more reliable than almost anything in terms of the year, which is rather interesting. The toilet paper still doesn't stay on the shelves, and now they've added the garbage bags that are apparently leaving quickly too. The times. Which of us can fathom why it's happening, all the causes, all the effects? But God knows. Your times are in His hand. What does one say in all of this? What does one do in view of all these things that you wonder about, you may dislike, you may question, maybe you're still fearful of them? What do you say at the end of 2020? Well, there are a lot of things we could say. But one thing we must say, my times are in his hands. Think about that. How many people have died this year? And here you and I are in this place together. God's will is mysterious. Why one is taken and one is left. Why one becomes sick and one is well. It leads us to say at the throne of grace, where we receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need, my times are in his hand. I will both fear and I will trust. This is God's hand. It's not only in terms of things of the pandemic and God's providence. Think even of things political as well. The pandemic came, and we moved from such things as focus on impeachment, and now this becomes the focus of the television all the time. It's interesting that David recast his words of verse 15 as he does at verse 20. There at verse 20 he says, "You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues." You see some of the irony there in light of David's words in our times. There seemed to be a political sickness all its own. And I don't speak on merely one side of the aisle, as it were. Politicizing a pandemic. The political sickness of media and officials, both left and right, advancing the extremes of safety and liberty, and yet not considering them both together perfectly or even wisely. But we've seen other issues of politics. And I mean, as the word itself means, things of the citizen, politics. We've seen overreach. We've seen rights under further assaults, whether it's the Second Amendment, whether it's the First Amendment. We've seen the Supreme Court begin to answer these rights of the citizen in times of pandemic. A new trend is encouraged now to snitch on other citizens. We've seen citizens, of course, divided over a presidential election, such that many wonder, how deep does such a thing as fraud go? People are having hard times with politics, and it's on both sides. There are the further issues of the polis, of politics, as the word means, the city or the police. We've seen buildings broken into. We've seen, as David says here, of the city that is besieged. We see here cities burning in 2020. We've seen mass protest, planned riots amidst social distancing requirements. What times these have been. We've seen mass protests and riots met with indifference by police. We've seen it encouraged by some officials. We've seen business owners as citizens affected. We see some that are saying defund the police, and others would say back the blue. What strange times we are in. It would seem as though the world has gone mad and God has left the world. The truth of the matter is, as David gives us a 2020 bifocal vision, my times, your times, our times are in his hand. They are in his hand. What volatile, uncertain times in which we live. You can see David's inspired vision for each one of us. Can you see and say about yourself, my times are in his hand? Yep, they're still there. They're still there. Life is falling apart, it seems. But friend, God is holding you in His Son. Your life and your times are right there. Now, this is just a surface illustration of 2020. They've been the things that have been forefront in terms of our public life. But our times are in His hand. And the point here about things providential is that since God controls everything, you and I, all of those who believe, are kept in His keeping care. He's watched over you. It's mysterious. It is good. And whatever you and I think of it, it is what it is. They are my times, but they are His hand, and it is His will. Secondly, we look at things that are personal. Again, David says, "My times are in your hand." These are things that affect him at a personal level. Some of these things may have indeed affected you at a personal level. Some of you in the congregation have been ill. Some of you have been unaffected. Some of you have known people that have been ill. Our dear sister reports today that her mother has COVID. Just down visiting her, caring for her. We've prayed for her. She's gone through much affliction. But the thing that I think if we were to open Psalm 31 to Alice, she would probably put her finger right on verse 15. And as Barb testified, she'd lift her hands and she would say with joy, "My times are in His hand." All of these things are personal. They're personal things because they involve people. It's personal. And God takes it personally. You know, sometimes we use that expression and we say, don't take it personally. Don't take things so personally. Somebody says something, they don't mean to offend us, they don't mean to oppose us, but we in our pride, our sense that we need to justify ourselves, whatever it is, we take things personally. Now, it may be the case that it's wise counsel. That we're too focused on ourselves. We take things personally. But the reality is that things affect us. They affect us as people. My times are in God's hands. These are David's times. These were David's experiences. They were David's emotions. But even so, it was God's hand. It was under God's control. And it was for God's glory. And David draws the contrast here. He says in the very same verse, there are two hands. My times are in God's hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies, those who persecute me. There are two hands. And it seems as though we're tossed and pulled in the middle, where we have God's hand and the enemy is seeking to take us from God's hand. It's like we're being in two directions. And we say, get your hands off me. My times are in God's hand. Have you ever thought about God's hand? Now we know that God is a spirit. He has no body. He presents himself in terms of human anatomy so that we as humans and in our weak state would understand things about God. He speaks of his hand. When you read the scripture, when God talks about his hand, it's his power. It's his ability to stretch it out and to save, to bring to himself, to hold. Scripture speaks of it as a strong hand. A strong hand. It's the hand with which God says that he saves. Psalm 136, the Exodus account. God saves by his hand. He delivers. He rescues. And here David is saying very personally, my times are in your hand. It's good that it's not in your own hand. It's good that you're not left to an enemy's hand. David could personally say, my times are in God's hand. So where is he? He's distressed. You see it at verse 9. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also. He speaks of sorrow. David is distressed. What do the distressed need? What do they pray for? They pray for deliverance. Isn't that what Jesus told us? How to pray? Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from calamities. Deliver us from things that could otherwise take our lives, threaten us. Which means that the greatest need that you and I have is not so much to get what we think is right. It's to be delivered from evils. That when God allows us to go through temptation, to go through trial, that he will also show us, as Paul says, that way of escape. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But he'll give you that way of escape with the temptation, with the trial, with the harassing thing it is. We need deliverance. Has he not done that for his son? Do you remember at verse 5 of the psalm, where you've maybe seen those words before? Here's David saying, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord God of truth. Where do you hear that in the New Testament? You hear it at the cross. You hear our Lord Jesus Christ suffering under the hand of God. His times were brought to a climax right there at the hand of God that kept his son but turned it over and laid it upon him to crush him for our sins. And here is Jesus saying, I commit my into your hand my spirit. There's no suffering that can overcome us with the hand of God. Jesus was rescued. He was delivered by his God and his Father. And where does Jesus now sit? He sits at God's right hand. He delivered him. He's always there where people will associate sin forgiven, sin overcome, God's rule for the good of his people. And so when we say, my times are in your hand, we have to remember what God has done with his hand. And our Lord Jesus Christ has committed his spirit into the very hand of God so that you and I also can and must and say, my times are in your hand. It leads us then to turn from not only distress to deliverance, but any fears you may have, to trust. Look at David here in the psalm, whether it's verse 1 or 6 or 14 or 19. He's talking about taking refuge in the Lord. I trust in you. What a profound statement. To actually entrust yourself to someone else. That doesn't come easy. But it is the way of faith. We go from fear to trust. That's how God's providence works in your life. All the things that are happening, things that we don't want to face, we dread, God is using those so that you and I will trust him. It comes down to trust. Will I trust God that it's true? Come good or evil, my times are in his hand. And the kind of hand that it is. It means that we can go from crisis or calamity to courage. Listen to how David ends the psalm. All that he's gone through, he looks out to the people of God after talking to himself and sort of looking at himself in the mirror. He looks at all the people and he says, "Oh, love the Lord, all you, his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompense the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage." Are you facing affliction? Are you facing death? Are you facing the unknown? Do you worry about these things? Be of good courage. "I have overcome the world," Jesus says. We should see 2020 with 2020 vision. Now, some of you children, when you were younger, maybe you still do it. I hope you still do it. When you walk with mom or dad or a big brother or sister, maybe you hold hands. And when it comes down to it, of all the things that a small child is vulnerable to, whether it's mean dogs, whether it's cars going by, whether it's your own balance or tripping over things, it's good to have a hand hold you. And it doesn't come down to the fact that your hand is in that other hand so much as that other hand holds your hand in that hand. That's the way it is with God. My times are in his hand. And it's not merely that I've put my hand there. It is that God as our Father has taken our hand and holds our hand. Lest we slip, lest we try to pull it out, lest we be interested in some other thing, the real comfort is that God holds our hand. All of our times are in God's hand. That's the beauty of verse 15. That's the comfort by which we end a troubled year and enter into another year. You know, maybe you dads, while we're at it, maybe you sometimes boast or you remember your own father and what things a strong hand can do. Wow, look at what Dad just did. He crushed the whole thing. He opened it with one hand. He threw it, he picked it up with one hand. Did you notice here that it doesn't say, as I wrongly put in the bulletin, that your times are in God's hands? It is true, but it says that it's God's hand. God single-handedly, with one hand, provides everything for your and my life. It's all right there. It's all in his hand, kept secure. Why is this? It's because he knows our frame, that we are but dust. It's because his thoughts are great toward us. It's because he hears us when we pray to him. It's because he daily bears our burdens. As another psalm says, we are the apple of his eye. It's because his son took flesh and blood, and in that flesh and blood died for our sins, and so can sympathize with us with all of our weakness. God knows our struggles. He understands our problems. He writes our past. He knows our present. He holds our future. As David elsewhere said, "O Lord God, you are my confidence from my youth. By you I have been sustained from birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. And even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me." He will not forsake you. We'd say by grace he cannot forsake you because your times are in his hand. That's a very personal thing. And it's something that you and I have to remember as we head into another year. Remember that for when you go through grieving. Remember it when you hear of other cases. Remember that if you get sick. Remember that if you fear dying. Remember that if you feel restricted or regulated. Remember that if you're struggling against the power of sin, if you're, it seems, failing in times of temptation. Your times are in His hand. That's where things sit. That's where the situation lies. Remember it for your daily work and studies. Remember it for your child rearing. Remember it for uncertain plans about the future, hopes that you still have for the future. Remember that your times are in God's hand. So these are providential and personal things. We're going to say goodbye to 2020. And we'll likely not say goodbye to miseries and troubles. It would seem that they will continue into 2021. But we can welcome Christ here at the end of this year, and we can begin 2020 hoping on Him. Christ never disappoints. He will care for you and for your times. And so it is that this message ends with a real sense of to be continued. And the way it's going to continue is that your times will be in God's hand. Remember what the word of your Savior says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of His hand. So maybe there's a sense in which God presided over the bulletin. Your times are in His hands. Friend, go with the encouragement of that. Go with the realistic perspective that that is true. God is trustworthy, and you and I ought to trust Him. Happy New Year, a little bit early. Let us pray. Father, as we have heard these things and reviewed something of our year and felt something of the shock of it, the lingering echo of change and the times in which we live, Lord, we draw great comfort knowing the real perspective behind the scenes. Even that way in which You're blessing all people in a common goodness. Lord, You've sustained those to help us in time of need. You have provided such good things, it would seem, and we hope, as a vaccine. Lord, You've provided for order for our lives. You've supplied us financially in terms of work and responsibilities. Lord, our times, good and troubled, are in Your hand. And Lord, we confess this, and we pray that You'd remind us of it as our days go on. May it be that You would receive all the glory, even as we the comfort, and that, Lord, we would live to Your praise before men with much courage and help from a risen living Savior. Lord, we ask that You'd hear our inner heart cries. Look upon our burdens and give us help. Lord, we lift our lives to You and pray that they would be that which will honor Your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.